Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
The kingdom of God is unique. First, the kingdom of God is born in our hearts. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will never enter the kingdom of God. And so you and I have to come to the place where we recognize we need Jesus as Lord and Savior. We submit our lives to Him. The Bible says at that moment, we are born again, we are saved, we become members, citizens of the kingdom of God. His first dominion is our hearts. Why our hearts? Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. God wants to direct the issues of your life. He wants to be in charge. When He's in charge, we are blessed. I hope that you've taken these principles and that you're living by them, and that together we are taking the kingdom of God out into our community. For wherever the kingdom of God, wherever the children of God are, the kingdom of God is. Today we want to wrap up the series on understanding the kingdom, and today we want to talk about kingdom culture. Everyone shout kingdom culture. Culture is very powerful. I was looking up a definition of kingdom culture, and according to the Free Dictionary, .com. Culture is defined as the total of the inherited ideas, beliefs, values, and knowledge which constitute the shared basis of social action. So when you look at the way people interact, when you look at the way people go about life, you begin to see certain patterns of belief and of practice, values that they hold dear. And when you observe those, you really begin to observe the culture in that place. Culture is also about the range of activities and ideas that a group of people share and they hold on to as traditions. And these traditions are transmitted and reinforced by the members of the group. So they embrace these values, they live by them, but they also pass these values on. So as we talk about kingdom culture refers to the ideas, the beliefs, the values, the standards, the practices of the people of the kingdom of God. As members, as citizens in the kingdom of God, we have a kingdom culture that is unique. Remember we said, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so we are to live according to that culture. You know, let's talk about culture. It's not a strange thing to us here. In Uganda, we have more than 50 different tribes. Every tribe unique with its culture. Just look at the food that people eat. Look at the way they prepare their food. In fact, look at the way they dress. In fact, you see someone, the way they are dressed, and you know what culture they are from. Ame Munyankore, and I married a Muganda lady, Violet Nandaula. And our cultures are very different. I recognize that the son-in-law can't really meet face-to-face with his mother-in-law. And that was very strange for me, because where I'm from, we meet and we hug and we greet and we hug. And it's an amazing experience, although we sometimes slap ourselves in the back and it really hurts sometimes. We're energetic. But the Buganda culture is also unique in its own way, that when I went for my introduction ceremony, I had people running away from me. I didn't understand what was going on. People say, Muko, our son-in-law, and they're hiding, wondering what's going on. For them, it is a sign of respect. And when I met them, they were kneeling, and I was becoming shy. I was telling them, no, please get up. And someone said, don't tell them to get up. That is what they need to do. It's a sign of respect. I was like, oh, wow, that is interesting. And for them, I'm telling you, I felt like a king. It was beautiful. The culture is beautiful. The ones that hug and break your back is a beautiful culture. But also the ones that kneel and greet is a beautiful culture. And I think we need to celebrate God for the diversity and the culture that we have in this nation. Some tribes, they are warriors. And when you look at their dances, that comes through. They're strong. So our cultures are different and they're to be celebrated. But the culture of the kingdom of God is unique. I said the culture of the kingdom of God is unique. Now we need to understand what sets the culture of the kingdom of God and causes it to be unique. What causes the culture of the kingdom of God to be unique is that it is built and shaped on God's eternal and life-giving word. That is what makes the culture of the kingdom of God unique. It is built and shaped by the Word of God. You know, when you look at the cultures that we come from, they're shaped by the leaders of the clan or the leaders of the tribe or the leaders of the kingdom of that day. And when they die and go, culture begins to change. A new group of leaders will come in and they'll begin to adjust a few things here and there. There's a time in Uganda where you couldn't marry from another tribe. It was almost a taboo. But today, people marry from different tribes and cultures, and the ceremonies are quite colorful. Even with our own city culture, and even with our own church culture, there was a time ladies couldn't wear trousers. But now ladies can wear trousers. Culture changes. In some cultures, they practice female circumcision. Today, people are up against it and they don't want female circumcision. And in a couple of years, it will probably not be an issue because it won't be practiced anymore. Culture changes. The times change. Beliefs change. People's values change. But I am so excited that kingdom culture is built on the Word of God. It is eternal. It is life-giving, as we're going to see. And so Paul writes to Timothy, and in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, he paints this picture of why the Word of God is the basis of kingdom culture and why it makes kingdom culture unique. So in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 in your Bibles, I read from the Message version. He says, there's nothing like the written Word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed. That's the first unique thing there, is that it comes from God. Scripture is unique because of its source. God is the source of the Word that we have. And He doesn't change. And Scripture is right there. It is God-breathed. It comes from Him. And that Word is sure, it is steadfast, and it is useful one way or another for showing us truth, exposing our rebellion and our wrong ways and our wrong motives and the wrong things with our culture. And then it corrects our mistakes. It shows us a better way to live. It trains us to live God's way. The Word of God shows us a new way of living, God's way, kingdom culture, built on the culture and the character of Christ. And through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. So kingdom culture is unique because it is not built on your opinion or on my opinion or on the opinion of the pastor or the bishop or the reverend. No, kingdom culture is unique because it's built on the Word of God. So what makes it unique? Three things real quickly. Number one, we've talked about it. The fact that kingdom culture does not change sets it apart from every other culture in the world today. Like we said, culture is always changing. But because kingdom culture is built on the character of God, on the Word of God, it never changes. Now I look at the world today. Constantly shifting, changing. Causes society to become unstable. You can't build your family. You can't build your family on those values, on those principles. Because today it's one thing and tomorrow it's another thing. We look at our communities today. One season we honor the sanctity of life. In another season we are legalizing abortion. One day, someone is a man, tomorrow they're a woman. And on another day, they're fluid, they don't really know who they are and in which bathroom they should go when they go to the toilet. It's madness. And so society becomes unstable. The nation becomes unstable. Our families become unstable because one day you give birth to a son and tomorrow he's coming and saying, change my name. I don't want to be he, I want to be she. Oh, I don't want to be he or she, I want to be it. It is a sad reality. Until the day it shows up at your doorstep is the day you realize it's really a sad reality. And friends, that is why we need to build our families, our relationships, our businesses, our career, our future on the solid foundation of God's word. Because it never changes. God's standards of righteousness in the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, are still the same standards today and will be the same standards forever. This is what Jesus said about the word of God in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. He said, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You know, if you want to build on a sure foundation, you can build on the word of God. These are values that you can build your family on and pass them on to your children. And guess what? Your children will teach them to their children, and your grandchildren will teach them to your grandchildren. And as a family, your heritage will be that you built your family culture on the word of God, which brings kingdom culture. It is a sure and solid foundation. It's been tested across time. Schools have tried to throw it out. Governments have tried to fight the word of God. But listen, the word of God still stands today. Build your family. Build your life. Build your family's culture on kingdom culture that is found in the word of God. Read the word of God together. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Get it into your heart. Get it into your soul. Get it into your language. Why? You are shaping your family culture, your individual culture, your business culture on the sure word of God that never changes. It's unique. But kingdom culture is also unique because, listen, it is above every other culture. Kingdom culture is above every other culture. It is supreme. Why? The word of God is supreme over all issues of life. And so the word of God, which provides us with kingdom culture, sets us up with a culture that actually is above Buganda culture, Runyankore culture, the Chichiga culture, and all the other cultures we have. The technical term for that is supraculture. It is above. Now you may wonder, Brian, why is that important? There's things that are awesome in our culture that teach us respect and they teach us great values for life. But there are many things in our cultures that do not honor God. They don't honor God. When someone passes away, we engage in funeral rites and we begin to call on the spirits of the dead and we begin to engage witchcraft. We begin to make oaths that leave our families in bondage. That does not honor God. It doesn't honor God at all. And I know that as you go about life every day, sometimes you clash with your family, or sometimes you clash with your workmates, or you clash with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband. You clash with people in your life because sometimes they're trying to drag you down to live by a culture that is not kingdom culture. And I want to encourage you, church, anytime there is a clash between kingdom culture and your culture, always choose kingdom culture, because it will always be Christ over culture. Christ over culture. Let's shout it together. Christ over culture. Always choose kingdom culture over any other culture. Paul, writing in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, put it this way. Do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's what happens when you live by kingdom culture. You're transformed. He says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Listen, friends, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. When you take on the principles, the values of the kingdom, faithfulness, gentleness, mercy, justice, you begin to live a healthier and better life. The Bible calls it shalom. Well-being, wholeness, the life of God flowing through us and at work in us when we take on kingdom culture. It is a mature way of living life. Think about our culture today. It's about who knows who has what, how much money and how many houses and how many women and how many companies and all of that. And so people become jealous and people begin fighting and people are calling names. It is really an immature way of living life. But when you take on the culture of the kingdom, you become mature. The best comes out of you. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, said, "It has been said, but now I say." What was Jesus doing? He was introducing kingdom culture. And he was saying, let it be above the prevailing culture of the day. Friends, our culture in Uganda is riddled by corruption. We are known as a corrupt nation. You know what? If we began to take kingdom principles and were men and women of integrity, not just in our sexuality, but also in our finances and our relationships, would kick corruption out of Uganda. We become mature, fully grown, responsible. And when we begin to live that way, guess what? The blessing of God begins to follow us. So, kingdom culture is unique because it doesn't change. But it's also unique because it's above every other culture. Whenever there is a clash, it's always Christ over your culture. Kingdom culture over your culture. But finally, kingdom culture is unique because it is life-giving. It is life-giving. You know, in John chapter 10, the Bible tells us the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life, and life to the full. When you begin to live by the values and the principles of God's word, when you begin to reflect God's character through your life, you begin to experience the life that God has in store for you. It is a blessed life. We read in Romans chapter 12 that the culture of this world is immature and it's always dragging us down. But the kingdom of God's culture brings the best out of us. In our culture today, there are many things that do not bring life and hope. They kill, they destroy, they steal. The way that we treat women in our culture, the way that we treat the girl child as if they're less than the boy child or the men. Women lose their husbands and the very next day the family is there to grab their property and then leave them to fend on their own and to struggle. You probably have a story like that in your family. Today, we celebrate people that are corrupt and we say, oh, he is sharp. He's not sharp. He's a fool. He's a thief that must be brought to justice. In fact, he must be thrown in prison and he pays back everything he owes. You see, we can't even clap because we probably are participating in it. The nation of Israel, every time they turned their back on the ways of God, they experienced chaos. Every time they adopted the cultures of the kingdoms around them, they experienced chaos. But every time they came back to the Lord, they experienced life and prosperity and blessing. If Uganda is ever going to receive life and blessing and prosperity, we need kingdom culture in every aspect of this nation. Jesus summarized kingdom culture in this one word. Love. In John chapter 13 verse 34 to 36, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you keep on showing love among yourselves. He said, everything that has been written in the law and the prophets comes down to this one thing, that you love God and you love one another. That is kingdom culture in a nutshell. It's about honoring God. How do you practically honor God? By honoring those around you. It calls us to live a life of love. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7, helps paint a picture of what this looks like if we are to live a life of love. What does it look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. I'll read from the Passion Translation. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bible. He says, love is large and incredibly patient. Oh, how Kampala would change if we were patient. Border drivers, patient. Taxi drivers, patient. How many would love to live in a community where the border guys just wait at the lights? Instead of finding a space. They just waited. You know those people come and they budge into the line into a bank. What if we gave each other space? We preferred one another. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. Imagine that was our language. It was just gentle. And that we were kind. Some people have been blessed with verbal artillery. They just throw out words. They're not kind. He tells us here, love refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Imagine when something great happened in your life, you were celebrating and someone said, man, I thank God for the good things that are happening in your life. You change the way we live. Imagine someone got married before you and you celebrated. Change the way we live our lives. No jealousy. Love does not brag about one's achievements or inflate its own importance. Rather, it serves. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect. Imagine social media without shame and disrespecting people. Love does not seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated. Does not take offense. Wow. Imagine every time you're irritated, you just remained gentle. Someone slaps you on this cheek, you even offer this one. You know what I mean? You see, you can't even clap because you can't understand it. This is the life that God is calling us to live. We don't take offense. The Bible says it, love does not delight in what is wrong. Imagine we rejoiced only with the truth. And those who were not truthful were brought to account. Love is a safe place or shelter. It never stops believing the best for others. Wow. Imagine we looked out for the best in each other and always encouraged. We called it out, man, you're going to be a great husband. I know you'll be a great wife. I know you're going to succeed in your education. Man, I love the way you work hard. I know that God is going to build something significant through. Imagine we did that. Love never takes failure as defeat. It never gives up. Wow, who would like to live in such a community? We can. The only problem is that the Christians are doing nothing about it. So now that you've heard, you're accountable. Kingdom culture would change this nation. Kingdom culture has really become the heartbeat of who we are as Watoto Church. We want to be a transformational church. We want to lead transformation. We want to see Uganda change by taking on kingdom culture. This has become the heartbeat for our team leaders, Gary and Marilyn Skinner. This is why they came to Uganda. And so, friends, we're not just a church that's here for meetings and lights and stuff. That's not why we're here. We're here to be equipped to transform a nation.
I think that this message is about as close to why I'm in Uganda. I'm here to change Uganda. Not by bringing Canadian culture. You don't need Canadian culture. I'm not here to glorify Ugandan culture. I'm not here to bring Eastern or Western culture, white culture, black culture. None of that matters in the kingdom of God. I'm here to introduce kingdom culture. Kingdom culture will change Africa. There are many good things about Baganda culture or Munyankoli culture or Ateso culture. There are many good things. We're not here to change any of those things. But there are many things that we do that are simply wrong. They're wrong. And they don't glorify God. And they don't honor people. The kingdom culture is based not only on the Word of God, but on the culture of Christ, on the character of Christ. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of the nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Our culture needs to be based upon what Jesus taught. And where do we find that? Not in theology books, not in law books. You won't even find it in most schools. You'll find it in the pages of your Bible. And if we would live out those kingdom values, as Ken has said, if we would model the character of Christ, we will change the world. I have such a great difficulty living in a country that is 70% Christian, but as poor as it is, as dirty as it is, as disorganized as it is, as lawless as it is, as corrupt as it is. I have such a great, difficult time. It stirs up distress in my soul every single day. It's true. The whole creation groans and travails in pain together, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. We're the sons of God. We're to live out the kingdom. Uganda is all those bad things because Christians are not living kingdom culture. That is the reason. It's not the president's fault, the parliament's fault. It's not our cultural leader's fault. It's us. We have to just live this out every day of our lives. The other thing that's why this is so central. Again, that message is so important. We're not just to be hearers of the Word of God. We're to be doers of the Word of God. We only get saved by grace. You can do all the good things you want until the cows come home. You can do all, they will never save you. Salvation only comes by believing in what Jesus did on the cross for us. But let me tell you something. Changing a nation happens by what we do. The choices that we make. And I chose a long time ago, I'm going to live kingdom culture. I'm going to be a model of kingdom culture. I want people, when I have gone by and I'm finished and my life is gone, to say, there is a man who loved us. There is a man who loved Uganda. There's a man who lived out truth. There was a man of integrity. My friends, that's what I want you to do. All of life is a sacred act of worship. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Kingdom culture is doing whatever glorifies God. You cannot drive in Uganda the way that you drive to the glory of God. We cannot live this way. We need a radical transformation that begins on the inside by our surrender to our sovereign Lord. We bow our knee before the King of the kingdom and we say, we are your sons. We will obey you. We will serve you. We will honor you. We will do nothing that will dishonor your name. Everything we do, we will do so that we can build a great kingdom of safety and security and peace and prosperity and health. Everybody matters. Everybody is important. I could go on and preach for another hour because I'm so passionate about this. And young people, I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times, and I know I'm going on a little too long with this. I am here to raise up the next generation of transformational leaders. We will only do that by living out the kingdom culture in our country. I believe it's time for Africa to shine. For Africa to rise up. The rest of the world is telling Jesus to go to hell. They're ignoring Jesus. They're making decisions to legalize homosexuality. The Word of God is clear. They glorify transsexuals. They abort millions of babies every year. Africa needs to say, sorry, no. We're going to build an Africa based upon the Word of God, based upon the kingdom culture, based upon the character of Christ. Well, then we're not going to give you aid. Keep your aid. Let's build a new Africa. We're not going to let you travel. Okay. It'll cost. It'll cost. It's a war. You know my heart. So Ken, this message is so important. And what you need to do, I know I'm supposed to close. There's two groups of us here. Some of us who are Christians and need to make a fresh commitment to live out kingdom culture. And number two, people who are not part of the kingdom and need to get into the kingdom. So I want to pray. I want to pray first of all for those of us who are, bow your heads, those of us who are members of the kingdom of God, who are saying, I'm going to make a fresh commitment to live kingdom culture. I'm going to become obedient to the Word of God. I put my faith in Jesus. Now I'm going to live in obedience to His Word. It's so hard in the culture that we live in. No excuses. Zero grazing. You say, oh, Pastor, I hear the Word of God today, and I am a Christian, and I want to make a fresh commitment right now to be a culture-transforming agent by living out kingdom culture. I commit myself to kingdom culture. You're that young person, I want you to stand right now and say, I'm going to make this fresh commitment right now. Just stand where you are. And I want to pray with you a prayer of fresh commitment that you're going to become an agent of transformation by living out kingdom culture. You're going to be a part of that generation. I want you to stand with me. And I want to pray a simple prayer. Father, you see the people that are standing right now. These are your sons. These are your daughters. And we live in such a tough world, a world of compromise, a world that makes excuses for wrong. Oh God, we make a commitment that we're going to live the Bible way. We're going to live the kingdom way. We're going to live the character of Jesus. We're going to be agents of transformation by being people of truth and integrity and righteousness. We make that commitment, and I'm standing, Lord. Even though I'm not a part of this next generation, I've been living it in my generation. Oh God, raise up a generation of young Ugandans who will say no to what's wrong and yes to what's right. Holy Spirit, come and give us a fresh enablement to be able to do this. We make that commitment to you right now, Jesus. You're the King. We are your sons. We love you. We are inheritors of the kingdom. We are your representatives. We go everywhere, carrying the message of the King and the culture of the kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Yeah! Woohoo!
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portodochurch.com.